With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Prepare at last his return. Your behavior our Savior deserves. I'll save you in the end, my friend.
Hello and welcome to Tribulation Farce.
Bonus.
Jennifer's the host, and I'm just a little elderly baby.
What? I'm the host?
I thought since this was a bonus episode, we'd do opposite and reference the weird credits. Anyways, this is the Kirk Cameron 2000 film Left Behind movie bonus podcast. Thank you so much to the patrons over at patreon.com/ that's the drum okay. Content hole for making this special episode a possibility. Jennifer Elizabeth Cheek.
Yeah.
We just watched the frickin' Left Behind movie.
He just watched it. My brain is fresh off of Left Behind. And it's so funny because, like, We had not seen it in a very long time. We, like, sit down. We're like, okay, we'll record ourselves, like, as we watch the movie, and then we'll talk about it afterward. And I, like, had my little notebook out. I'm like, I'm going to take notes.
Yeah.
I took zero notes, and I had no capacity to take
this
notes.
This is, like,
none.
In when I watch a very fucked up Naruto arc, and I take my notes, and my only note is, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, that it does feel like that is my note for the movie.
Yeah.
The movie went so fast. Absolute warp speed through the plot of the book.
So we should definitely point out that patreon.com/content hole is live. And that is why this episode exists. And if you want to listen to us watch the movie, and it's important to point out that obviously we would have watched the Left Behind film.
Yes.
But Patreon.com/content hole allowed us to do a Mystery Science Theater 3000 style watch along.
Yeah, we reacted
live
in real time to the movie.
Eat pretzel.
And honest, yeah, I did eat some pretzels. I'm sorry.
If you like pretzels and clinking of ice on glasses,
yeah. If you like the sound of a 35 year old woman crunching pretzels. And I was trying to be so quiet.
Dude,
it's subtle pretzel crunching,
what if
I promise.
Weirdly shift from, like, all the content we've been making for 12 years to just weird freaks that want to see you.
Oh, just watch me eat pretzels?
Yeah.
I was about to be, like, going to ASMR. Because,
like, there's, like, so,
you know,
many.
I mean,
there's,
I'll,
like,
do
a.
It. Shit.
Fuck it.
Okay.
I think it's about time for someone that exudes, I do not want to be perceived.
Oh, that's me.
To demand money from people.
Give me money, but don't look at me, okay?
Yeah. So to reiterate, basically, we say 1, 2, 3, go, and you start the movie, and you watch along.
And guess what? That's just on Amazon Prime for free.
It's for free.
At least for us. It could be through one of the various services we forgot to
if it's on Paramount Plus, we're going to fight.
No, I don't think it is, though. I don't think it is. I think it's just on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
So it's 1 hour and 39 minutes long.
It's also important to point out that we're, like, four cocktails in and pretty fucked up off of the amazing performance that is the Left Behind movie.
Yeah.
And the fact that 86% of it is really good. In my opinion, based on what they have to work with.
Okay, I think it tricked us, though, because, like, it just, the people who made it knew how to make a movie.
Uh-huh.
So they just were like, okay, we're gonna, like, take this base plot and, like, make it be the plots of a movie.
Yeah, and I'll say it now, but basically the biggest negative is that they don't have as much buck with Carpathia.
Yeah,
and
no, it's
really
out of nowhere.
They kind of fumble the buck going to Carpathia. It's possible they said one line to justify it, very much a, thank you for smoking. Why am I able to smoke here? Oh, it's because blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But again, if we're able to miss the one line while we're riff tracking it, then it's not successful regardless.
No.
But besides that, like, if you listen to the Patreon bonus episode and watch along with us, we're constantly saying, actually, this is a better choice.
No, like, they definitely fixed many things that were wrong in the book because, let's not forget, there are a lot of things wrong with the book. Like, there's...
I'm not ready to say that.
It needed to be streamlined so badly because, like, there were so many flights in the book. They were going across the Atlantic Ocean, like, constantly.
Yeah.
And they cut down on that shit, like, a lot.
One huge negative of the movie is I never knew what day it was.
No one's ever
like, in 2 days, I will talk to someone in this room.
Everything was so condensed in it.
I had my headphones in if I'm screaming. I looked at you and I'm like, why does she not have her headphones in? Because we don't need them.
I didn't even notice you had them in.
So if I sound different right now,
just stop screaming. You didn't really sound like you were screaming to me. Let's talk about the casting. Because, like, honestly, it's really good.
It's perfect.
It's honestly perfect.
And I know that I'm, like we said early on, that, like, my dream casting of the book is the movie because I watched the movie so long ago. But again, I really do think they nailed it.
Like, Chloe looks, to my, again, sorry we keep referencing the watch log, but.
Hey, I'm not sorry because this is our first.
This is advertisement.
Yeah, this is our first main feed post Patreon. We got to be, like, selling it. Those of you who are crunch freaks are like, got to give me.
Yeah, give me that Jennifer crunching on Dots pretzels. But no, like, Tim and I think officially are both in love with Chloe and ready to propose to her immediately. She's so from the year 2000. I think for me, it's the fact that this, like, late 90s, early 2000s style is, like, coming back around. And this is what was popular when I was in, like, middle school and early high school.
Here comes a boy.
But now I'm an adult and I'm like, I just wear whatever the fuck I want.
And it is weird.
And I just want Chloe's little shirt with the, like, tie. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, I just want it really bad.
She did run a few times and her boobs bounced. And there was one time you see her nipples.
Yeah, it was very sinful
to do that. I'm really curious on this Christian set. Did they, like, do the opposite of putting ice on her and, like, did a hair dryer on her
chest? And make her boobs hot so there's a nipple.
And another thing we should say is, sorry, the main feed is not going to get the same amount of distractions when Laser tries to jump on my lap. We'll get a little bit of
We really leaned into it a lot on the Patreon feed. So if you're a fan of Laser, that's a spot for you.
Yeah. The biggest issue for me with the movie, and my brain is like a jumble, is a thunderstorm, because it's trying to figure out, how does this movie work if you haven't read Left Behind? How does this movie work if you're not aware of Christianity?
Right, like, if you don't know, like, the Christian, like, underpinning of it.
Because I don't think it works without reading the book. I'll say that up front.
I don't think it works without reading the book, and I don't know that it works if you're not, like, familiar with Christian shit.
Yeah. And the movie has this insane... So, again, we agree with most of the changes of the movie.
Right.
Adding, like, a lesbian couple, one of which is a black woman, is so cool.
Okay, and let's be clear. They did not say, this is a lesbian couple, but they were very much implying.
Here's my roommate.
These two girls. And there was a random white girl with, like, a henna tattoo on her forehead.
She was a lesbian.
She was one of the lesbians. But again, they didn't say they were lesbians. So I don't even, like, I was saying to Tim, like, I don't even know if they, like, understand what they're implying right now.
Well, that's why
they sure are roommates.
Go back earlier to what Jennifer said was, it's someone that knows how to make a movie that's like, all right, fuck, I guess, to everything like Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. wants. Is like, someone understood that hashtag diversity, like,
was
good. And, like, I can't, like, there's so many movies from 2000 that don't have lesbians.
Oh my God, absolutely. Know?
And the fact that, like, we need to watch the next one, which we will do.
I need to learn more about the people who made this and, like, how it got made.
There's so many characters, they don't say their names.
No, they don't. But then Tim and I were losing our fucking minds when the credits came up because the character names. And what was it, like, Very Handsome Baby?
There's Very Handsome Baby.
Very Handsome Baby. It was, like, Drunk Lady. Elderly woman. It was like, which makes me think that it was made on with very few people. If there's like literary typos in your credits, but I don't know. And I'm a connoisseur of the bad Lifetime movie, so I'm like pretty used to seeing low budget movies. And there definitely were some signs of that low budget here. But like for instance, like the beginning of it, like at first it's like, oh, okay, cool. They're showing all these like aerial shots of like spots in Israel. And at first it's like, oh, they're like actually filming it there. And Tim's like, yeah, I think they are. And I'm like, but you can just get like stock footage and shit. Yeah. And as it like went on, I was like, oh, this seems like stock footage.
You could listen to the tennis ball effect of what we think is actually happening.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. Because when they film like an IDF guard pretty quickly, or like, I don't know if they would like that. This is like a little weird.
Because at first we thought they were going just like, okay, we're just going to film. We're not going to get a permit. We're just going to film it. Like, just go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the IDF would like shoot you in the head if you tried to do that. So
I don't even know what to say because they did such a good job in some parts, but really freaked up in some of the others. And what we assumed was going to happen, dear listener, was this was going to stand in for a, hey, I'm left behind. Maybe my sinful children, brothers, whatever, will put this movie in.
Right, and then they'll be convicted.
Right, but I have to give it my wholehearted no thanks Christian view. Like, it didn't work that way.
No, like they didn't do like a call to action at the end. Like, I would have assumed they would do like a hard sell.
Yeah,
at the end, they're trying to use it, you know, and again, for evangelism.
So, in my opinion, it's not successful as a post-rapture film.
No,
but if it's a pre-rapture thing, I don't think it's successful either because they kind of fumble the end. You know, we just finished the book, right? We have all that knowledge going into it. We mostly, I'm going to say 65% appreciated the book's changes. It's just this little 16% they do. I know you're saying that's not 100%. I know. I like the end. there's a little 16% they do where Buck is leaving Chicago, and they do the Buck don't go. Nikolai has hypnosis powers.
Yeah.
But they don't Buck. I mean, Jennifer and I were talking over it, but like we said earlier, if we
really
missed it.
They didn't like explain what was going on.
Yeah.
And like everyone just kept getting saved with like no preamble at all. It was just like, because like in the movie, Bruce Barnes, the like associate pastor, is at the church actively getting saved and Rafer shows up. And then Rafer's like, well, I'm going to get saved too right now. I'm going to, like, really just, like, come and, like, take your thunder.
It's like that dear question of, like, oh, I'll have a double wedding.
Exactly. Like, you can't. And then, like, does it, like, Chloe gets, like...
Chloe gets saved the same time Buck does.
Like, literally all of them get saved, and there's, like, no, like, I think I should get saved, like, beforehand. It just, like, happens.
Yeah, they really fumble... the Buck save. Chloe does do the, like, oh, you're just saying it's God the same way you said that grandma is going to heaven. So, yet again, Chloe's based, and...
Chloe's a nose ring in this, FYI. We got distracted earlier, because we weren't even, like, fully talking about Chloe enough. Like, Chloe looks so fucking good in this. Like, her hair...
Let's go a bit back before we talk about OnlyFans.
Yeah, we have to go back to explain to the listener how hot Chloe was looking. Because she had that, like, late 90s, early 2000s hair that was, like, flipping out on the sides.
Yeah.
And then she had her little, like, shirt that has, like, you know, there's, like, a little gap in, like, a tie at the top and then, like, a jean jacket on top.
And you know
of
how,
it.
Like, shirts now fit, but shirts then were, like, of this weird, looser material that both made
but
you look
small.
Husky and, like, sucked on your titties?
Yeah.
So, like, made you look fat, but also sucked on your titty. Like, yeah, I don't know what material it was.
So she had that.
Not
and,
fat.
And she had a nose ring. That's
and
like
she had a nose ring.
Know.
And they pointed it out.
And they, yeah.
They made the good choice of Rayford leaving on Raimi's birthday. And Ray's wife, whatever the fuck her name is, Irving?
Irene.
Isabella? Irene?
Irving is from, not Secession, oh my God.
Irving is from
From
is this a name?
No, well, no, Irving's from fucking, what's the show with Adam Scott in it? Severance. It's like the same, but it's not.
And another important reason, another plug for the Mystery Science Theater 3000, which we call Movie Zone 3000 because we're smart.
Movie Hall 3000.
No, Movie Zone.
It is Movie Zone?
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually...
Guys,
it might be one of those.
We're still
working on it. Listen to Jennifer figure out who Patrick Warburton is.
Okay, it's going to be quite a while. I was like, no, it's not Crumb.
It's not Crumb.
It's not Crumb. Paper sticker, but it was.
But again, the reason why it was important is because Ray looks like Patrick Warburton.
He looks like me, like, did a slight, just like a shrink ray for like half a second.
Yeah.
And but that like, would be Rayford.
Patrick Warburton would never be able to play this role because he's too good of an actor.
Yeah, he would be like, what the fuck is going on?
Why would I do that? But Ray, so it sets off with, it starts with Buck, with Haim.
In Israel. And with the oh my god, and guys, the planes look so bad. Like, yeah. CGI is,
And the best part, I mean, it's 2000, I bet we didn't...
I mean, it probably looked awesome to everyone.
That being said, like, Jurassic Park...
Yeah, exactly. Jurassic Park looked fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, the Alien looked good. Like, there's...
Yeah, but if you... there's a couple scenes where the alien looked bad, but not important. We do point out that, like, if you stop any frame of the first 10 minutes, it's doo-doo ass.
It looks hilarious.
It looks like Command & Conquer. It looks like the FMV from Command & Conquer, absolutely. Do you know what FMV stands for?
I know what it... Oh, you know what? I'm actually thinking of AMV. Which is
crawling.
Yeah. So okay, I guess I don't know what FMV
stands for. Full motion video.
Okay,
and it's where video games basically have actors, live action actors.
Oh,
so if you want to see a softcore,
okay, that's different. That's different than what I was thinking. I was thinking of the AMV,
and a lot of
not the same.
Jennifer's like, let the bodies hit the floor, didn't play at all during that scene. What are you talking about? But basically all that to say is, you know, we talked about the invasion scene from the movie on the podcast proper, and it both delivered and didn't. And by delivered, I mean it wasn't that bad, so it didn't deliver. It was fine enough. The CG was horrible.
It kept, like, cutting back and forth to be like, wait, are they, like, attacking in the desert?
Right.
Or in Jerusalem? What is going on?
The only way that we can make it make sense is that they set up a grain field set on the outskirts of Jerusalem, and then they go into a tunnel to a bunker or something. But
the bunker looks very sick inside.
But it does, yeah. Without like putting those pieces together, they're literally like in a goat farm getting blown up.
Literally goats.
And then all of a sudden they're in the Battlestar Galactica HQ. It's crazy.
Yeah, under the ground. They go under the ground. They go into like a weird house in the desert. And then they go downstairs and it's a fucking secret base.
And to not apologize.
It's like Star Wars ass.
Yeah, oh my God. It's literally Star Wars ass.
It literally is Star Wars.
Where Princess Leia's, or Carrie Fisher's daughter is drawing on the, like,
Yes, exactly. The big, like, map in the middle.
Well, here's where the bogeys are. And I won't apologize for referencing our live riff track style thing.
No, you should listen to it.
But we were very confused about how news worked. Because broadcasts live, and like, that's not there's no way he's doing that.
It's not impossible.
But then we kind of forgot that, like, that happens every single day for the past 50 years.
Well, okay, but in our defense, they, like, switched out Buck's, like, job. Because in he's a journalist, but in the movie, he's a reporter. Mm-hmm. So that's why we were like, what the fuck is happening?
And he's a reporter for GNN.
Not CNN.
As we were, like, very focused on mentioning that CNN exists in the book.
In the movie, they're like, okay, we really actually can't do this. But this is another one of those, it's like, this is actually a very good choice, because, like, like, it makes more sense to have him, like, talking his story out rather than writing it for the movie.
Isn't it crazy that within 5 years, you have to switch from, like, a newspaper to a CNN?
I don't think that's why. I think it's purely because of, like, it's easier to show in the movie.
I think that's true. but also the opposite.
Because, like, who's going to read, like, are they going to read the article out loud on the movie?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, you're right.
Like,
you're
it's easier to have him as a reporter.
No, you're right. That's interesting. That's interesting to think about, because I'm absolutely approaching it from, like, from a now point of view.
And of like print media is dead?
Yeah.
I don't think that's what's going on.
Not necessarily that, but also the 24-hour news cycle.
I mean, that's definitely a thing.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, and that, yeah, like, around that time, I mean, again, reminder, this came out in 2000, so, mm-hmm. like, shortly before 9/11, like, when
if,
everything is about to be very different.
This came out.
Also, sorry, sidebar, are we dizzy? We saw the Twin Towers
Shout
in the
out.
Movie. We saw the Twin Towers in the movie.
Yeah, after listening to the Blowback podcast, mm-hmm, that's why it's on mm-hmm. my mind, but that's why it's so much more interesting is 2 years later, this choice would have been obvious.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
the fact that it happened in 2000, I'm really curious why they did it.
I really do think it purely is just because it's yeah. easier to show.
No, I think you're right.
What else do you want to bring up about this film? Like, they did some, like, the movie is, like, diverse in a way that I'm actually shocked about.
Yeah, so we talked about it on the podcast, and it's weird because I'm not too sure what they mean by it and what we should take away from it.
Exactly.
But it is very
exactly.
It's weirdly diverse.
Yeah.
And they...
Because they make both Bruce Barnes black and the previous pastor black.
Exactly.
Which is really interesting, I think.
So...
And in, like, the whole UN scene at the end, they have more women in there.
Right.
It's like a whole deal. One of our cats is being bad and knocking things over, sir.
I might leave that in as a teaser for what happens in their Patreon.
Bad.
What are you doing back there, bud?
Know.
I do keep a large moving box that's empty to where I put the rest of my sound baffling up. But, dear listener, you know it takes 4 months to put sound baffling up. And now it's too cold.
It's
so you have to do another
five. It's so hard.
So hard.
What I was saying, though, is, like, the UN scene at the end, like, in the book.
Yeah.
Hattie is the only woman in the
yeah.
room, and she's the
Nikolai makes a joke.
And in the movie, they add more women into the scene,
yeah.
which is
and,
very interesting.
Let me cut in and say that they justify Hattie's UN thing.
Yes, they do.
Because Buck is loudly typing on his computer, and he... it's not super important, but it feels very strange that he's also doing layout for the newspaper. Wait!
He doesn't work!
Okay, so our cat just sprayed over our room. We did not put two and two together until right now.
And because I was just especially like jokingly rag on them, like, oh yeah, the writer's also doing the layout and design. Bleh. Like, he wouldn't be doing the layout because he's a reporter.
Can I interrupt? Does CNN have a newspaper that I don't know about?
I mean, they have like a website.
They have a website, yeah.
I don't think they have a newspaper.
A 2000? No, that did not look like a website.
No.
It looks bad, but...
That filmed like early and they're like, I don't know, we gotta change it.
Websites looked, well, the fact that we don't see
more. Websites did look crazy back then,
yeah,
though.
The
it
fact
could
that we
be a website.
The fact that we don't see more that
I'm posting.
Twin Towers.
Yeah.
But they're mostly in Chicago, by the way.
But they do show the Twin Towers.
Yeah, they do show them. But,
sorry, I'm like still losing
you know,
in the media.
I completely lost track of what we're talking about.
Because
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, no, he's a reporter.
Oh,
what the fuck?
So. They made a really good choice, and this is, like, one of the earliest Jennifer and I go, oh, okay.
Yeah, we like this, actually.
Is Hattie knows who Buck is.
Yes.
Apparently,
they have, he probably flies all
the time. He probably flies all the
time. They imply that he's flying all the time, because he's like, oh, my favorite
flight attendant
or whatever.
And she says, if you wake up my passengers, I'll make you make them go to sleep.
Okay, also, further side note, just in the same way that we are in love with Chloe, we're also in love with Hattie.
No, we're not in love with Hattie the same way with Chloe. Chloe... is beautiful, obviously, but Hattie is Kirk Cameron's wife, and
in real life,
and I think she's in Growing Pains, but she's in stuff. But no, she is like gorgeous.
Oh, no, she's hot.
She's drop dead gorgeous.
Tim, for me personally, I gotta go with Chloe if I had to choose between.
Well, but again, I think logically you can say that Hattie is more conventionally attractive.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Chloe has a little more meat in her bones, but like.
She's like got that nose ring.
She had the nose.
She's like an alt girl.
You saw that she was an atheist for a couple of minutes,
and I was like, "That's hot.
That's hot."
I mean, Hattie works for the Antichrist. That's also hot.
Katty's hair at the end is bad, but she has such a strong jawbone.
Yeah, and she's got that, like, blonde, like, again, late 90s, early 2000s, like, blonde hair.
Yeah, and you point out her bun.
Oh my gosh, she has the bun that's like the, it's not a real bun, it's like the flip. There's like a tail at the bottom of it. Yeah. Girl,
You know what I'm talking about. I'm going to Google Kirk Cameron's wife for a second and get canceled.
You're so canceled for thinking Kirk Cameron's wife is hot.
She's hot.
Let me see. Don't hog the phone.
Let's shout out Chelsea Noble real quick. What does she look like now? All these pictures from a million years ago, so hot. She's tall.
Is she taller than Kirk Cameron?
No, she's not.
Oh, damn it.
Damn it.
I just want to, I feel like Kirk Cameron would not like that.
I mean, again,
that.
Look at her. She looks like if you wanted to cast, like, a va-va-voom news anchor.
Yeah, I was going to say she would be, like, the hot doctor, like, yeah, on House.
Because she's not too sexy. No. She's, like, crazy hot.
No, she's definitely hot. She's definitely hot.
And we were saying that it's a goddamn shame that Kirk Cameron is a fucking freak, because he has some really fun line deliveries.
He's
here.
Got some charm to him. It fucking sucks.
Because when Hattie's like, whatever she says, if you wake up my passengers, he says some funny stuff.
Yeah, he's like doing little quips. He's less annoying. That's for damn sure.
Absolutely. And
Kirk Cameron makes him way more charming. Absolutely. Whereas Buck from the book, I want to kill with my own hands.
And, you know, when he's, like, assuaging the old woman.
Yeah, like,
that scene is really good. And
I mean, they definitely, like, had a lot of scenes that, like, if you've read the book, you're like, oh, shit, it's the same. Because like, when we saw the, like, old woman in her head, we're like, he's going to be gone.
But it's, like, kind of incomprehensible because I think at this point, Buck has already met Dirk Burton.
Yes, right? He has. Oh, yeah. The timeline is, like, very different.
And then Dirk Burton hands him, or...
Dirk Burton also rules, by the way. The casting for Dirk Burton is perfect. Dirk Burton's correct.
Yeah.
I'm Dirk Burton.
I'm Dirk Burton.
Actually, just my whole vibe.
Yeah, they have Buck and Dirk Burton meet in, like, a parking garage / office building that's under construction.
Yeah.
And Dirk Burton is like, you have to believe me, it's all connected, buddy. They're listening to us. Let me give you the world's smallest CD.
It was so small.
Do you think it made more sense in 2000? Like,
I don't know. Was that ever a thing?
I can't think.
Tiny, like, ring size CDs. Only,
yeah, no, like imagine tiny. A quarter, a little bit
a
bigger
quarter,
than a quarter.
Yeah, but it's a CD.
Do kids know what a quarter is?
I think it's what a quarter is. Probably. If you're a tween out there, do you know what a coin is?
Because I know we joke about, like, tweens that know what pennies are, but now I'm like, they might not know what coins
they
are.
They might not even know what a quarter is.
Oh, Bitcoin.
Oh, no.
Do you know who is on the dime? Yeah, no, it's very strange because they go really fast and they make sure that Buck is never in England, which I agree with. So he very quickly meets with Dirk. The Left Behind happens, and then... we're skipping several scenes we're going to talk about later, and then he meets with Alan Dulles.
That's his name. Alan Tompkins. Who they also make a not white guy.
Yeah, which...
That's what I'm saying. Like, whoever made this movie, like, I don't... Someone either just they have a diverse...
It's weirdly the most connection. Diverse movie ever made.
Okay. I don't know quite that far. But I do, like, it's like, to me, it's like either just like whoever made this just happened to have like a diverse like social group they can read or
oh yeah I know a guy
to, yeah. Or the person who made this was like trying to get people paid, like, well, you can be in this movie, like,
yeah,
I don't know. I want to do more research into how this got made and like funded and like who did it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how much money it cost. I want to know.
Free everyone. They just woke up and a check was in their mailbox.
Yeah, from the Lord.
We think that the plane seems better, right?
Yeah, because there's a lot more chaos. Like, you didn't feel it more.
Yeah.
But you know what just hit me?
What?
You know what the movie did not have enough of?
Magazines.
No, Eli and Moshe. There was just the one dude.
No. Oh, okay. You're right.
Yeah, there were two of them.
But they start with Eli and or Moshe.
Yeah, they start with
in a fucking sick way.
That was cool, but then it never, like, paid
off.
There was only the one guy.
You're right.
Did they, like, combine him just to make the one guy?
Maybe.
They're like, we can't afford having two. They only afford one guy.
So,
his name is Illamoisha.
Illamoisha. You know. So, yeah, during the, they did not point out that Israel was invaded by,
Russia? Did they even say Russia, actually?
So, what did they do? They,
I actually don't remember, because it was the very first scene of the movie, and I was like, wait, what the fuck is going on?
They talk about them invading from other countries, but they kind of focus on the location. So they're like, this is the Syrian-Israeli border.
Yes.
This is Iraq, and they're flying over Iraq.
Yeah.
They don't say that the Russian planes would probably go over Iraq.
Can I also just say, like, they started at the beginning with the whole, like, typing out the plate location in the date, and then they, like, never did it again.
It's really bad.
At the beginning.
That is bad. I will go on record and say that's bad. The way that they the first 10 minutes of, like,
it's like
Jerusalem.
It's a different movie.
It's really bad.
It's a really different movie.
It's like,
this is why I want to know about the editing process.
Oh, absolutely. It's obviously the hit show 24 came out 5 years later, but it's really bad. Imagine like typing. Yeah, I mean, they don't really focus on that, and that's probably one of the negatives. They don't really lean into it. Okay, actually, this is interesting. They don't lean into saying, oh, look, Somalia is invading because Somalia was blah, blah, blah.
No, but they don't talk about Gog or Magog at all.
Later, what they do is Buck from Dirk Burton finds on his computer, and this is, this is like 45 minutes later.
Yes.
A PowerPoint or something.
The
PowerPoint.
The document.
It is outlining plans to create 10 kingdoms, I think. And they lean into, they say like 10 fallow lands or something like that.
Yeah, it's like they're going to develop these lands. The other thing, speaking of plans, is that they really lean into in the movie talking about rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem beside the Dome of the Rock, which in the book they don't even talk about it at all.
No.
I'm assuming that I think that does happen in book two or three.
Right. I think it comes up a lot because, again, one of the reasons I know that is because one of the things that I like really believed is we should have bombed the Dome of the Rock. Because that would have brought about the apocalypse. That is not mentioned
in
the first
book. This is simply what must happen.
I am 17 years young. It is 2004.
Bomb the Dome of the Rock.
Sorry. he gets this document, right? And like Jennifer says, they really, really lean into the temple. The temple is never mentioned in the first book. It must be mentioned later.
I think it must. I think it comes up in the second and the third book.
Yeah.
Because the whole temple and setting up for the sacrifice, bad sacrifice.
Right, the bad sacrifice. Because again, that was like something that is so fundamental to what I believe the end times is.
Yes.
I didn't think about that until I watched the movie.
Yeah.
So they really lean into that. Apparently, the actual Solomon's temple is just 30 feet to the left. No big deal.
And they're like, oh, yeah, we miscalculated our bad. It's actually totally cool and fine. We just, like, put our temple over here.
So
like, easy. Why don't they do that now?
Because Buck was like, what are the Muslims going to do? No, it's not a big deal. It's going to be over there. It's going to be next door. And when they look at this weird document.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's phrases-ish in the bottom right-hand corner. And it's like Ithalatha something.
Oh, I didn't even see.
And then there's like Dan 7. And then later.
Oh, right. Yes.
42 minutes later, we find out, and I say it, but like, I cannot believe that this is what they're doing, is that's Bible verses.
It's a Bible verse, Daniel.
So, unfortunately...
You know, Daniel is one of the most prophecy books.
It is.
It's like Daniel and Ezekiel.
I thought it was Isaiah.
Isaiah is also huge. Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Revelation. And then,
Stonegal and Todd Cothran are pushing Nikolai. We get a lot of Nikolai in this movie, I will say.
He's great. He's perfect.
His
eyes could have been glowing more. They didn't glow at all, and I wish they had.
So Nikolai uses his hypnosis by touch in this movie, which is a negative.
Yeah, he's massaging Buck's shoulders.
He's kissing his ears. Licking. That'd be so funny.
He should try to jerk him off. That's how he does it.
All of a sudden, Stonegal sucked your cock. It's so weird because Buck, after the rapture happens, right? We talked about how the book's version of it is more chaotic and a little weird. They skip over a lot of the airport stuff, which is probably a better choice.
Again, because we complain about it. There's a lot of weird logistical back and forth shit that's happening in the book that is not at all necessary to the overall plot.
Yeah, and then 45 minutes later, they go through this baby compact disc, and they literally figure out that at the finale of the movie, because we see this PowerPoint five times, and the finale of the movie, it's either or does he do? He shows it to Bruce in the pre-finale, the penultimate finale,
right?
With Chloe, Bruce, and Ray. And they're like, oh, wait, that says Daniel 7. That says First Thessalonians.
Yeah.
And so the idea is that early on, within 4 minutes of the movie, that Stonegal, Cothran, and Nikolai have this PowerPoint that literally says Daniel 7.
Bible verses on it.
It's so dumb.
Yeah.
But it kind of whips in its own way because they make Nikolai more evil in this one, which I'm torn about, I will say. How about you?
I don't think it's possible to make him more subtle in trying to make the movie around an hour and a half, for the time period. Cramming this movie into this time, they were going, light speed.
Yeah.
And still, miss things. I think they condensed as much as they could. I don't know how they could have fit more in.
And I think that we agree that, broadly speaking, they did a decent job compressing.
Given the source material, I think they did a good job.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really just really hinging, really, on this weird baby quarter disc that Dirk Burton has.
Yeah.
Because it comes up a lot. And I got kind of confused on who had it because it comes up so much. And a little bit of that is how strange the saved scenes was. Some of the other things that we thought were good was Chloe was always in Chicago.
Yes.
They start the movie off.
Yeah, instead of making her be at Stanford and trying to make her way to Chicago. It's we don't have time for this.
Right.
She's just here.
Yeah.
Sorry about it.
The starting scene that we mentioned with Raimi's birthday, Chloe's there. And then Chloe yells at Rayford.
Be nice to mom.
Are you seriously leaving right now? And he's like, I don't want to hear these people.
I have to fucking work.
I gotta work.
To pay for this big ass house.
This big Chicago house.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want to talk to these people either. And I thought that was a good scene, to be honest with you. But.
Yeah. I feel like, it's funny, while we're having this conversation, I feel like my brain is clutching on to the memory of what happened in it, but it's slipping away from me already.
Oh, yeah.
Something about the way the movie is, it just smoothed my brain out, and it's already leaking out of my brain.
As we're talking about it, I am realizing how hinged it is. I almost said hingent. Is hingent a word?
I don't think so.
It's so hingent. On this PowerPoint. It's so hinged on the PowerPoint.
I mean, I like it. I think it makes sense as a
word. They bring it up so many times that it does get really strange. And as we said, 87% of the movie is good, and a bit of the part that's bad is because it's PowerPoint.
Asterisk that. The source material is bad. The movie is a good adaptation of the source material.
Well, I don't agree with that, but okay.
Oh, you don't agree with that? Oh, you just think it's a good movie?
Left Behind's good. This movie is good.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I see what's happening.
I guess it's all bad. You're right.
No, it's not good. None of it makes sense, but it's just that the movie, they did a good job of adapting what the book is.
Yes.
And making it, it was interesting. Like, it didn't feel like it lagged, really. Like, no, there was not all, at all. It, again, it was going along at quite a clip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think the big part that we are mentioning is, again, a lot of stuff happens. And Buck, I don't know how he gets to Chicago. I think that Alan Tompkins is in Chicago, and then Buck is like, don't leave.
Yeah.
And then he goes there.
I don't know if I...
Dude, I don't know. I have no idea.
No idea.
There's some... There's... It jumps. So, he goes...
They and, really, like, yeah, they just, like, skip over shit. And yeah. they're just, like, catch up. We're not explaining anything.
I mean, part of it's fine, but again, once we kind of get to, like, the last time Buck is in Chicago, it's really confusing. He meets Alan in the world's most... UK pub in Chicago.
In Chicago, yeah, yeah. O Paddy's pub. Oh.
And I kind of like that they did an homage to the book.
No, I thought that was cute too. Yeah. I liked it. Yeah, it was good.
So the negative is that Buck did not down a beer. It is weird that he Kirk Cameron drank a little bit.
Yeah, he didn't down his beer or Alan Tompkins' beer, which Dulles. He did in the book, which is very cool of him.
So he leaves. The scene starts with this old drunk lady being like, hey, well,
give me a dollar, please.
And then when they're leaving, the old drunk lady has been kicked out of the bar.
Yeah.
And this old drunk lady walks up to Buck and grabs Buck, like, give an old woman a dollar.
He's like,
oh my gosh, Alan, hey, turn your car on with the ignition and all those things. I'm going to give this lady, boom!
Yeah, this car explodes.
Which is whipped. And they didn't do the, him throwing the passport in the
they
wreckage.
Didn't do that.
But again, he's already in Chicago. Yeah. They got places to be.
No, it's like it's a different like situation. Yeah. Then I do that is unfortunate because that again that's like one of the few cool parts of the book where it's like good job, Buck.
So he's ahead. He somehow ends up getting patched up. I think in the church.
Yeah, because they were using I think in the movie they're like trying to rehabilitate like a lot of different people because mm-hmm. they're number one they're rehabilitating like Haim by making it all like we want to like
oh you're right yeah because like, early on Haim says it's going to be like world peace
yeah
and everyone in the world will have this and then we get invaded by Russia and Somalia and
exactly
Iran.
And then the other thing where they're trying to rehabilitate is they're making the church like a like refugee center which they
have
don't
you played
do in the book
the PlayStation game Spider-Man.
I have not. I'm sorry, I don't play games.
Buck goes to Chicago.
Yeah,
he is bloody, he is bleeding. A character who we don't know patches him up.
Yep.
And then 2 minutes later, he's leaving while Bruce is like, don't. He has
don't
hypnosis.
Go. Yeah, like everything is just so like truncated in this. It's
in
like,
justice for this 5 minutes. Again,
I can't imagine watching this without having read the book.
No,
like,
totally.
Literally, what is happening?
Yeah, they cut back to the previous main pastor of Bruce's church.
Hope Village, whatever the fuck it's called.
And I bet that full movie exists. We should find it.
Oh, it's so bad.
it's whatever. But, like, again, we are 70-ish percent through. And I know we're jumping around a lot in this episode. But,
listen,
again,
it's
tough to follow. It's tough to follow.
Like, what am I supposed to do? My brain is, like, leaking out of my ears after watching this.
Right.
I've had 3 drinks.
I've had 14 waters.
I have hyperhidrosis and I'm going to die.
And again, it's like, we're trying to focus on the things that are different. Other than like, the part in the book
was
the same. I don't know what happens, but all of a sudden they say, don't go there. It's going to be bad.
Yeah. Like cause
they do the Buck, like, don't be an atheist or whatever, an agnostic, I guess. That's what Buck is. When you're going to talk to Carpathia, but Jennifer and I missed it.
I don't even know that they did it. Really,
like, no. He says Bruce says something.
But okay, but it was only like one sentence,
right?
And then all of a sudden, Buck is in the bathroom giving his heart to the Lord.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down.
Yeah,
here I am to say that you're my
good. See, I tried to like pull out, but I couldn't because you were still singing.
Altogether lovely, altogether worthy. And I don't know the next word.
Altogether wonderful to me.
Did you listen how bad that was? It was not that much better in the movie. They do literally stop it. And then they start it up again because Chloe's getting saved.
She's getting saved. Buck's getting saved in the bathroom.
Yeah, they stop it while Buck prays. And they and when I say it, I do literally mean like a blonde man being like, believe I'm stupid.
I keep cutting in because I keep remembering things. The music in this movie is insane.
Yeah,
it's really funny. Again, as a connoisseur of the bad movie, I love to hear the music that ends up in these movies because it's like, who made this song? And now they sold it to the Left Behind movie, and it's like literally the worst thing you've ever heard. Like, real bad.
I mean, I feel like listening to this episode without the Patreon episode should turn you into the Riddler because it makes no sense. And like,
it isn't our fault.
And I get I get the concept of like, oh, you skip this, you're jumping back, you're doing this. But like, it's a weird movie.
This is our postmortem on watching the movie. This is our reaction.
Exactly.
This is like, we are fresh off of the movie.
A little too fresh.
A little too fresh, maybe.
But it's not our fault.
Can we talk about the last, like, the UN scene?
We should talk about the last UN scene.
So,
wait. So, we've been jumping around a lot, but it's very important to know. The night of the rapture, Buck spent the night at Ray's house
some reason. That's right. Oh my God, we have to talk about this.
And then again, very important. Because Chloe is not in Stanford, Chloe accidentally sits on Buck.
On top of Buck on the couch. Like, she just goes to flop on the couch, and then Buck's like, what? My girl, did you not look at the couch before you saw it? You think there was a person on this couch?
How often did you look at the couch?
I would see if there was a human being on
the
couch.
How often have you sat on Lucy?
Well, that's different. She is a small cat, and she is literally the exact color of the couch.
That's true.
In my defense, she is not Kurt Cameron on my couch.
We're not obviously falling chronologically.
No.
But
this,
like,
again, this is our gut reaction.
Yeah, this is
us raw.
This is our DMT trip of the movie.
I'm absolutely tripping balls while talking about this.
It doesn't make any sense, but Buck does go with Ray home.
He goes to his house.
So they
and like honestly, for a very long time in the movie, it's like, is Rayford making Buck just like stay outside? Because Buck stayed outside while Rayford like went in to be like, is my wife gone?
Right.
Is my son gone? Yes, they are. And he cried and was sad. And Buck was just like outside, I'm like, okay. And we never see like Rayford go be like, okay, Buck, you can come inside.
Real quick.
You can sleep on the couch.
Because I don't know why it happens.
No, again, because they have a lot of ground to cover in this movie. They don't have time.
I do think that part of it is like, okay, I can get you to New York tomorrow. Come with me.
Right,
that part makes
sense. Right. Like he's a pilot, whatever.
Because he's trying to get to Stan?
To who?
Kyle?
Who are you saying?
The man who takes the money to fly.
Oh, fuck.
Stan Ritz. Kyle Ritz. Ritz something.
Ken Ritz.
Ken Ritz. Which is also brave to cast, because Ken Ritz is very important in the later books. So basically, Chloe and Ray know Ken.
Yes. I guess that Ray and Ken are like pilot friends. And Chloe knows him. So Chloe's
it makes
able,
no fucking sense.
So Chloe's able to connect Buck with him so that Buck can fly back
but that's
to
a,
New York.
That's a bit of information that's like introduced for a scene.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're only talking about this because it's really funny how when Ray is figuring out that Raimi and Irene are gone, but they do cut over to Buck on his stoop.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know what to do. And then some army men are like, curfew is at 7.
Yeah,
be
we're
sure.
We're going to shoot you in the head if you don't go inside.
And then Buck is like, hey, army men that said I'm going to shoot you if I'm not going to go inside. Can I get to Chicago or can I get to New York? And like, I'm going to back up.
I'm going to fucking kill you.
Is that a grenade in your pocket? And that part happens. And I really do think, based off our kind of chaotic summary, we can jump back to the end of the movie.
Yeah. No, I can't. This is an organic reaction to the film.
Mm-hmm.
So in the book, the like ultimate scene is happening in like a conference room at the UN.
Yeah.
It's not in because again like, the like what do you even call
the,
like
the Knights of the Round. No,
I don't know. I there's like a word for I don't know.
Vestibule.
The auditorium.
No, I don't know.
The main zone of the UN where there's, like, people in a circle in the middle and there's, like, an audience.
The place where it happens.
There's definitely a word for it, and I can't think of it right now.
Vestibule.
Because I've had too much alcohol.
Oh, no.
But I actually, like, really like this happening in this room in the movie.
I agree with you.
Where it's, like, empty all around and, like, the lights are on them. Yeah. And, like, the light is really weird.
Yeah, no, the light is really weird.
Like, I don't know if there's like real, quote unquote, or it's just like the Antichrist aura or what's going
on. So let's quickly say, you know, obviously not spoilers because you're going to watch it too. There's there's three lighting choices in this scene. This is the final scene of, not the book, obviously, because they don't do the I'm walking through the airport like douchebags scene.
No, they do not do that.
So this is the scene where Buck goes to the UN to hang out with Nikolai and the 10 permanent members. So it's very important.
Sorry, the word I was looking for was chambers, but I don't know if
chambers?
That's like the chambers of like the UN. Like, I think I'm thinking of like maybe like judge shit now.
So this is the part that is subbing for Nikolai inviting Buck to the UN in New York, by the way, as the only media person, as they have met 5 times already. In the movie, they have not met before. I don't
know. Yeah, they're like best buddies in the book. And in the movie, it's just like, why is he there?
Later, Stonegal asks, hey, I thought there was going to be no media here. And Nikolai says, oh, well, who is more trustworthy than Buck? And that's enough. Nikolai goes around and he touches everyone.
Yes.
And his hypnotic patterns are much more based on touch, I believe. And this movie.
Yeah, he said he'd be a deep massage in your neck.
He kisses your ear. He gets kind of close to several people's ears.
He does get pretty close. It's pretty erotic.
Yeah. His powers are stronger in the movie because he's much more evil in the movie.
Yeah, he's like more aware of, like, I am the Antichrist.
He's like, how dare you think you're doing this because of you? It's obviously me. Da 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 da. And then he shoots Jonathan Todd Cawthron?
Joshua Todd Cawthron.
And Jennifer just made up on the spot that Todd Cawthron is his last name. And
it is!
That's fucking crazy.
It's real! It's Todd Cawthron. It's a hyphenated name, and that's why he's a cook.
No, that's sad.
Because he's hyphenated.
Oh, man, that's so sad. it's really, really weird. It's a really weird scene compared to the movie, or compared to the book.
Yeah.
He's evil throughout the whole thing. Which I don't like.
Like, from the very top.
It's really weird that we like the choice. There's so many choices they make in the show,
right,
the movie, that we agree with.
Yeah.
But the climax, we don't, right?
It was more impactful in the book, I think. Is this it?
Part of it was that we thought, based on Buck's background and Buck's internal monologues, that it would make more sense for XYZ to happen. But we didn't have XYZ, meaning Buck had not met with Nikolai. That's the first time that Buck meets Nikolai.
Right. Yeah, so just like there's just like a lot less impact because in the book, it's like he had initially met Nikolai and was like, this dude is awesome. Right. Like, there's no way. Like, he's the hope of the world.
Would you mind introducing me to that pussy?
Yeah. Like, can you play? Wait, like, now I'm starting to second guess this. He's wanting me to introduce him to a girl. What am I, a pimp?
Right.
So it makes a lot more sense in the book.
Yeah.
Like, the whole progression of it versus, like, why is Buck here?
Right.
And, like, they've never met.
And I really think that's, I hate to say it, but I think that makes the movie more interesting as a product.
Its
failures, because I think a big chunk of the movie is better, but the failures are so strange.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I almost feel like in, like, attempting to make it a better movie, like, it makes less sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Overall, like, actually.
Because they do a couple scenes with just Nikolai and Stonegal, and Nikolai is, like, kind of confused.
He doesn't really add anything to it.
Right. Like, but the problem, but that being said, so what I was saying was that Nikolai has a couple scenes with just Stonegal.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, Nikolai goes full evil.
Mm-hmm.
But if Nikolai has just scenes with Stonegal, we could totally have scenes where Nikolai is not evil. Because the penultimate kind of scene in Left Behind, it, like, Nikolai really does play that as, mm-hmm. like, this is fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And in the movie, he is like, no, it is all centered around me. Yeah. I am the king. I am the Antichrist. And another big thing is that he says that everyone around the table, without kind of really focusing on the Ten Kingdoms, mm-hmm, is mm-hmm. a king or queen. He says that.
Yeah, and that's very different. That's very different than the book.
Right. But we did praise the movie because they really focused on nuclear dearmament.
Yes, which that part made a lot more sense in the movie. Like, because Carpathia tied the whole, like, well, maybe the disappearances are because of this, and therefore you should get rid of it, which makes way more sense.
Right,
because
in the book,
just like, get rid of this because you guys like me. And they're like, okay.
Yeah. In the book, he mentions it, I think, only...
like, one time.
He mentions it either only to Buck or only
It was, like, at a press conference.
Yeah.
And they asked him, like, what do you think happened?
Yeah, you're right.
But it wasn't, like, a huge thing.
Right, and they... The first two times they show Nikolai are kind of negative for the movie, but this time it works. So maybe it plays it all together. Because they do show Nikolai making a big press conference about that stuff, which, again, they didn't do before. And they do skip over Buck and Steve crying at him. They skip over Steve entirely. There might be a character maybe.
I don't think Steve's in it at all.
We should scroll to see if we have a Steve
relief. I didn't see, because I was kind of looking for it. Yeah. But they showed Eric Miller? What the hell? It makes no sense.
Where is Eric Miller?
Who is Eric Miller?
So the movie ends with... what does the movie end? He goes back to Chicago for some reason?
Again, I feel like... imagine that my brain is like... is crumbling away. Is gone. I don't remember.
I don't feel so good, Mr. Peek.
I don't feel so good.
I don't remember how the movie ends.
No, I don't remember how it ends either.
Because we were expecting him to say tribulation first. Oh, the movie ends. He goes back to the church.
Right.
And remember that's it.
Oh, yeah. I just, like, did the, like, zoom out on the church. Like, okay. So they didn't even say tribulation force.
Right.
What a missed opportunity they should have.
Yeah. And the sound is, like, very ominous. And then it turns into, like, hopeful.
It's like, oh, shit. And then, and then it's, like, hopeful music. I'm like, okay. I don't really know how I'm feeling right now, but okay.
Dude, it was such a weird movie.
It was such a weird movie. I mean, I had a great time watching it. And again, like we said, like, it's fucked up, but, like, Kirk Cameron's, like, pretty charming.
There was a couple lines he delivered that were perfect.
It made me mad. Yeah,
That's God exists because of banana.
God's of a banana! Because a banana fits in a monkey's hand.
Have you seen that?
God's real. You gotta look it up.
That film?
Look up Kirk Cameron.
Have you seen that YouTube?
Please just look up Kirk Cameron banana.
Jennifer Elizabeth Cheek.
Yeah.
The first Left Behind movie is perfect. We both agree.
Absolutely. No notes, actually. I don't want it to be any different than it is.
Thank you so much to everyone at patreon.com/contenthole for helping making this possible. In a couple weeks, we will be able to rally our forces, our tribulation forces. Soon, we will record book two, Tribulation Fires. No, Tribulation Force. Sorry.
Oh, my God. But also, I think that before we start book two, I'm going to do a little episode about the Book of Revelation to give a little bit of background and, like, give some highlights on how it has been interpreted over time. Because the way that, like, the current, like, right-wing evangelical interpretation of it is not the way that it has been interpreted over time.
Right.
Like, that's a fairly recent turn in things. So I want to talk a little bit about that. It's fucked up. It's really old. Like, that's the thing. And this is what we need to remember. Like, we are taking a very old text that we don't fully know the context for or who wrote it and, like, how it was received.
Yeah.
And people take that as, well, maybe Zelensky's the Antichrist. You know what I mean? Like, people are still interpreting it now. I mean, like, the whole thing of, like, people not wanting to take the vaccine for COVID because it's the mark of the beast. It still is.
Which it is, by the way.
No, it absolutely is. I'm full of the mark of the beast, and I feel great every day. I'm very strong. But no, like, it makes a huge impact on our world still. So
it sucks that it does.
It does. It's unfortunate. But thank God I still have my old academic books from college, and I can go back and be like, what the fuck is going on with Revelation? You guys are going to make me, like, end up having to, like, relearn in Greek, and that's going to suck for me.
Well, stay tuned for the episode where Jennifer and I have special guest our dads.
Oh, my God.
That will probably never happen.
Yeah, it'll ruin our lives.
Yeah.
It'll be really bad.
But we absolutely love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. I love the way that we covered this movie because it's so fucking crazy.
It's appropriate. The way we were covered it is appropriate for the movie.
Very much so. Well, bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.